Blog Talk Radio.
Song to play. We may listen to a song just about
Yahushua, just about this season that we're in. You know, and I'm going to start in John 11. And I'm using the Strong's, King James Version. Hopefully everybody can get their tools out and they can follow. But in John 11, I'm heading there now, family. I'm just excited. Starting at verse 49. And one of them named Caiaphas. Let me put my glasses on. You know, that a definite thing got to be going on. John 11, verse 49. We're going to go all the way to 52. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. I'm gonna stop right there, because when I was going through this, I was understanding what that means to me. This one man, Yahushua, laid down his life for me, and not just for me, but the whole nation of Israel. Now, this man not even knowing that he prophesied. But understanding that what Yahushua did for me in this season is laid his life down. One man. Let's move on. And 52. And this spake he not himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Yahushua should die for that nation. Y'all hear what it says? He don't even know when he spoke. But because he was high priest that year, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, moved upon this brother to say, hey, that guy that y'all been talking about and rumors been going around about who he is, Yahushua, he gonna die for the whole nation, that we perish not. Not even understanding why he did that, why he said that out of his own mouth. And how many of us say things that we truly don't even understand? I know many of the Kohanim here, many of the teachers here, when they talk and when they get up there and they teach a lesson, they have to go back, or somebody will come to them and they taught something and they don't even know that they said that, what they said. Because there's nothing script. When you talk by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So you may say things that you may not understand at that moment. Or you may not even know that you said. But I'm quite sure right here, Caiaphas did not know what he said, nor did he understand what he said. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of Yah that were scattered abroad. Not for what nation only? See, at that time, the Yahudi didn't even consider the rest of the nation of Israel. We can look at it that way. Because who is Yah's people that scattered abroad? He said it out of his own mouth that I shall scatter Israel among the other nations. And it also can point to these other nations that the scripture talks about, that he shall be a light to Israel and a light to the Gentiles. That's what this season means to me. That my Savior laid down his life for me at this time of year. Not just for me, but for the whole nation of Israel. I don't have to say other nations, because when you become a part of the nation of Israel, when you take upon that covenant, you are a part of the nation of Israel. But we have an adversary. He came down and he mixed things up. But we're not talking about that tonight. We are talking about what does this season mean to you? And do you truly understand that? That this one man, this one Elohim, this power of a man came down and died for me and you. Do you truly understand that? Are you considering your ways? Are you considering at this season what was done for you? And on top of that, what are you willing to do for him? When the many Passover that come through our congregation, that the spiritual leader asks us to write something down, what we have done for the Father. Just take a blank sheet of paper and start writing what you have done for the Father. What will be on that sheet? Will it fill up? Will it be one word? Will it be a sentence? Will it be a paragraph? Or will it be nothing? See, this time of year, we start considering and understanding what this man, what Yahushua did for you and me and for the rest of the world. See, tonight, it's a little unorthodox. It's not your normal Passover teaching. In fact, it's not even teaching at all. It's just saying some words that what it means to me. Let's move on. Let's move on to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 27. And this is when Brother Shaul, give you a little background, is talking to the Corinthians. Mind you, they are, quote unquote, new believers to this way of life, the Israelite way of life. So they are Gentiles coming in this new way of living. And they were still trying to hold on to their Gentile ways, bringing it in to this new way of life. If you go through the majority of Paul's letters, that's what he's talking to. He's talking to Gentiles who has now took hold of this Israelite way of life. So he had to correct them every now and then with a letter. Now, hey, somehow y'all getting off track. Y'all not understanding what's going on. Starting at verse 27, family. We're going to verse 34. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Master unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Master. When I stopped and thought about that, I don't want to be unworthy to drink this cup. We had a brother here in the synagogue, I mean in the temple, either one. And he wouldn't take the Passover for a while. Now, looking back and understanding, I respect the brother for that. Because he said, hey, I'm not going to take the Passover until I'm ready. That's honorable. Because if what we're reading, if you jump in and just take the Passover, this is not like what the Christians do every first or third Sunday or whenever they do it, communion. Unholy communion, they're not like that. This is a sacred feast that we take in. As Father gave us that back in Leviticus 23. And the brother had to read this chapter right here, and Corinthians said, I don't want to be unworthy. I don't want to take Yahushua's Passover unworthy. So at this time of year, we want to get worthy just to take this Passover. We want to start cleaning out, which we should have been doing all year long, but it's a long year. And we're going to go through our trials and tribulations. We're going to go through. And that's so we can grow. That's so we can grow in faith in Yahushua. So I don't want to take this cup and this blood and just say, I'm just eating some a piece of matzah, I'm just drinking some kosher wine. I'm not doing that in the mindset of just drinking and eating that. I'm partaking in Yahushua's sacrifice for me. I'm partaking in that. This is not some wine and some regular old bread. This is real to me. So I'm going to get worthy at this time of year. I don't want to just take it unworthily, like Brother Paul is saying right here. 28 family. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Before you drink and eat of this cup, examine yourself. We talked about last week, Yahushua said, come and learn of me. Because why is the Father always telling Israel to study, consider, listen intently, Shema, examine yourself? Why is he always telling us these things? Trying to get our attention, trying to keep us focused, understanding the nature of this flesh that we live in. Why? Because he came down and he dwelled in it. So he understands the nature of this flesh that we live in. So examine yourself before you come take this Passover, before you partake in my body, before you partake in my blood. Make sure you are right in your spirit and in your mind. That's what this time of year it means to me. It's a joyous time of year. It's a gut-wrenching, cleaning house time of year. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning Yahweh's body. You hear what he's saying? If you eat this unworthily, you're going to bring damnation on yourself. This is not unholy communion. And I'm saying unholy communion because there's nothing holy about that if you partake in that. You want to eat and drink of the master's body? Keep Pesach. Keep Passover. Understand what Passover is. And then you'll have a story to say, this is what Passover means to me. I don't want damnation upon me. I don't want to be unworthy sitting at that Seder, drinking that cup, eating it, surrounded by my brothers and sisters, unworthy, defiled within my soul. I don't want that. So you start thinking, at the first day of Abib, I need to get myself right. By the 14th day, I need to be in order. Because I want to take Yahweh's Passover. And you know what? What's so beautiful about it? He gives you another day. You miss it this month, he gives you another month. The only feast day he's there for. And it's a reason for that. But we're not going to get in that tonight. It's a reason why if you miss Pesach this month, there's another month that you can take it. The next month, the very next month. The mercy the Father has for us. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. What is he saying, family, to us? because people are taking the Pesach, the Passover, unworthily, you find yourself sickly. Don't be thinking you are going through some sickness and some ailments of your body because you have been in Yahweh's Passover unworthily. You have been there, and ain't nobody else know, but Abba knew, the Father knew you was unworthy. So like I said about the brother earlier, I commend him for that because it's damnation upon your spirit if you take his Pesach unworthily. And that's what it means that I want to get myself right. I don't want to be sickly. I don't want that upon me. I don't want to be weak, whereas I can't get out of bed. I don't want those curses upon me. I don't want to be unworthy taking the master's sacrifice for me. He laid down his life for me. I don't want to be unworthy to take that. I want well done by good and faithful servant. That's what I want. And many sleep. We can look at that two ways. As a form of imitating death. So many have taken this Passover unworthily and did not make it to this Passover. And then we can look at it another way, spiritually. You're taking a part of Yahweh's Passover and you're still not having understanding. You sleep. Your ears not hearing. Your eyes are not seeing. Your mouth are not speaking the words of Yah. So you sleep, although you are physically awake. But spiritually, you're asleep. Why? Because you're taking the Father's Passover unworthily. You're taking his son and throwing it to the side as hey, that's just unholy communion. That's all it is. To me, it's an unholy communion. They just did it in another way. Not so. Not so. One of the grandest events that ever took place in mankind. In fact, the grandest event that took place in mankind's history. That's what Pesach means to me. Let's move on. But when we are judged, we are chastened of Yah, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. Don't just come because you're getting a meal. Don't come with that mindset. That's what it means. When you come with the mindset of, I am partaking of the Messiah's body. I am drinking his blood. I am taking that sacrifice that should have been me, and I'm taking a part of that. That's what Brother Shaul said. Don't come because you're hungry. That you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. This is Shaul talking to the Corinthians. Earlier, he was talking about, if you read up a little bit, where people was coming and drinking, they were coming just to get a drink. They were coming just to get a meal. So he had to let them, don't come. Even worrying about eating physical food. Because if you come worrying about eating physical food, you are already condemned. When you come and you have the mindset that, Yahushua, you did this for me. You laid down your life for me. For me. And it may sound selfish, but at that moment you can be selfish because you know that he died for the whole world, but you want to make it personal because the Father have a personal relationship with each and every one of his children. I know, because I am a father myself on the physical. And I have a personal relationship with each and one of my children, and they are all different. Not one of them the same. Out of the three I have, my relationship with all three of them are different. But I love them all the same. But the relationships are different. My oldest, he is my baby because she's the first. My son, he's the middle, but he's my son. That's my son. And the baby, oh, the oldest better take care of the baby. I better not hear no foolishness about y'all not taking care of the young one. Love them all the same, but three different relationships with all of them. And all of them would say that that's my daddy. All of them. I would say, hey, look, I'm all your father. The youngest would say, that's my daddy. I got to treat. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, and what we can use, what the scripture says, respect of no person. That's how I feel. Look, baby, yeah, all my babies, don't do that. Don't exclude my two young babies. They my babies too. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. Learn from the physical. Mm-hmm. Learn. That's why he give it to us, so we can learn. Give us our children so we can understand what he goes through with us. At times we hard-headed. We do things we don't supposed to be doing. And when you come and ask, why you do this? I don't know. You going to do it? You going to do it no more? No. A week later, then done it again. He gives us wives, spouses, so we can learn of him. So that's what Patriarch means to me. The blessings that Abba has bestowed upon me in this world system so I can get to know him better. We always talk here about where we work at in our lives. And many people may not even understand why they work where they work at. Not knowing and understanding that the Father has you there so you can learn a spiritual truth about him. So you can learn, even if you have to learn that how your enemy works through all these different behaviors that you work with every day. Now, I work with mentally challenged people. That's some behaviors for you. That is some different personalities, maybe all in one person at one time, that you have to deal with. So I understand why Abba got me working where I work at. So I can take this physical and learn the spiritual. Hallelujah, Abba. Hallelujah for that. Because that's a part of the Pesach. That's a part of the blood going across the lintel in my side post. So the angel of death can pass over me. Hallelujah for that, Abba. That's what Pesach means to me. Let's move on. I'm going back to John. John 18. We're going to start at verse 37. We probably have read these stories a million times. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? You know, okay. I like to use my imagination, you know, when I'm getting, you know, imagine Yahushua sitting and looking at him like, you going to ask me, am I king? I made you. But that's all right. I'm here for a reason, so we're going to play this out. Yahushua answered, thou sayest that I am a king? To this end was I born. That is why I came. That is why I was born, to be a king. And for this cause came out into the world. That's what Pesach means to me. My Savior came into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. We talked about that last week, about a brother who wrote a letter saying that he didn't see the benefit in coming into the truth. I dare say, did you come into the truth? The same question that was asked of him. You sure you have the truth? Did you come into the truth? Are you hearing Yahushua's voice? Because what do you say? Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. So when Paul is asked that question, he almost answers it. Because he said, what is truth? Yahushua gave an answer. Everyone of the truth hear my voice. So because you don't hear the truth and you don't understand what the truth is, you don't hear my voice. That's why you ask that question. Because everyone of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said unto him, excuse me, I'm going down to, I'm still on verse 38. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? It's almost that old thing. You got to ask. You don't know. You can't hear Yahushua's voice if you're asking what is truth. And count yourself blessed if you are hearing the truth. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Yahudi and saith unto them, I found in him no fault at all. And I want to stop right there for a minute because we're talking about what does Pesach mean. Listen to those last words. I found in him no fault at all. None whatsoever was in Yahushua. No fault at all. And we love to look in the mirror. Every one of us. We are vain. Every one of us. When we get dressed, we go straight to the mirror to make sure everything is right. We brushing our teeth. We looking at, we opening our mouths, making sure we got everything. And we can see ourselves, and we can say that, I don't see no fault. But that's a lie. That's a bold-faced lie to yourself and to the Father. Now, can the Father look at you and say, I find no fault? That's another story. We talk about that another time, because there's a deeper teaching there. But I just want to stop there. There's no fault. There was no fault found in Yahushua. Now the story switches. He's out there with the crowd again. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Yahudim? And I'm going to stop right here too. Because that was me, that when Yahushua came down, I was in prison. And at Passover, I got out of prison because this man laid down his life for me. See, when the Father was taking me through that, and he showed that to me, that when we read it, go down and understand who this man was, which we all know if you read the story, Barabbas, you can put your name there because you were in prison until this man came down and got up on that torso stick and freed you. There's a custom at the Passover. Why in the world would that be a custom in Israel at the Passover that a criminal go free. Why would that be a custom at Passover? Y'all got a custom every Passover, let a criminal free. Why? Well, who thought of that? Each Passover, we're going to let a criminal free. So when I read it, I understood I am that criminal. That was me. That got let go. And Yahushua had to get up on that torture stake for me. I am that criminal that he died for. We're going to move on. We're going to finish this up. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Yahudis? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. That's what the scriptures say. In other words, now Barabbas was a pure criminal. So he was what we would call today a thug, robbing people. That was me, a pure criminal. That was every human being on the planet Earth, per criminals, locked up until Yahushua came down and did what he did. That's what this season means to me, to remind me that I was a criminal, that I was freed of something. I was let go. And this man went to the torture stake for me. And not just for me, but for every soul on the planet Earth, even the ones that haven't been born yet. Every soul. Let's move on. Luke 23. We're going to start at verse 35. A little unorthodox tonight, family. But we're talking about what does this season mean to you? Luke 23, starting at verse 35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. I just want to start right there. If you know that this man was a savior of our lives, but yet you have the audacity to ridicule this man, to talk slander of this man. If he be Mashiach, the chosen of Yah, and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Yahudim, save thyself. Dude, they did not know who he was. Because earlier he told Kepha, Brother Peter, put up thy sword. If I wanted to, I can call down a legion of angels. That's the power that he had. And I'd like to, like again, to always use my mind when I read the scriptures and use my imagination. Just picture in your mind some soldiers. Sword is already out of the sheaths. Just waiting for that captain to say, get him. Walking around, please, I'm sure. Please just bow your head, give a nod, give anything, and I will come down and I will destroy mankind for you. Because they don't know what they have. They have my creator, Father crucified, my creator. that same Malachim that was in the beginning when Yah brought the children of Israel out of the land, in the Malachim that he said don't have favor of the old, don't have favor of the young, they don't pity nobody. If I give them a word, they will slay. That was the same ones ready for Yahushua to just nod, just wink, just give a hint, and we would have no more, we wouldn't even be here today. Do you understand that? The power of that. Let's bring it down to our level. We have the strongest army in the world, United States Army. There's nothing more powerful than United States military. All armed forces in the world. Nothing can touch that. And you got this bully, he just beating you up. And you got a few Navy SEALs sitting over there waiting to tear them up, but you got to take it. You got to get beat up by this bully. And you probably can beat him, but you can't raise a hand to him. But the Navy SEALs are tearing behind us. All you got to do is say, get him, but to save your little brother's life. Because the deal was, if you raise a hand and fight back, your brother will die. Your son, daughter, wife, whoever you think that's dear to you will die. So you have to take this behind whooping by somebody you already know you can beat. And they got brass knuckles on, just cracking with brass knuckles. Will you be able to take that beating for your loved one? Or would you tell them Marines, the Navy SEALs, to tear him a new one? That's what he did for us. That's the type of power he had working for him. He denied that power to save us, to lay down his life for us. Not just for me, for mankind. But this is what this season means to me. I often, when I go through something, when I think I'm going through anything, I put on the passion of the Mashiach just to bring me back down to earth, just to bring me to, yeah, you ain't really going to do nothing. And I get to the beating part. And it really put things back in perspective for me. You ain't going to do nothing. Man, this little bit of turmoil you're going to do, you better pull up them bootstraps and keep going. That's nothing compared to that. I remember when we first went to see that, me and two other brothers, we in the movie, we move on. Smurf acting in the movie, crying. We hear these three big grown men in the movies cry. Why? Because we understood that maybe that was a movie up on that screen that was imitating real life. We understood that that happened in real life. We believe that that happened. And that's one of the main reasons why we go through Passover, because we believe. And when it comes around, we get happy because we believe that Yahushua laid down his life for us. And many people in the world don't believe that. Man, you mean tell me God came down here and got up on a tree and died for you? Come on, now that's stupid. That don't even sound right. First of all, how he's a God and he died? Well, I'm not even going to try to prove that to you, brother, sister. I believe that. That's what Pesach means to me. Let us move on. And saying, if thou be the king of the Yahudis, save thyself. Superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Yahudis. And one of the malefactors which were hanged which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Messiah, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear Yah, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Understand what this man just said to this other man. Man, how in the world are you going to be acting this way towards this man? We in the same boat that this man is. You don't fear the Creator. You're not trying to get your life right. You're not trying to ask for forgiveness. You don't feel sorry for what you did at this moment. And we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. That right there. Do we understand that we all deserve to be up on that tree? We all deserve that. How many of us truly can say that about ourselves? See, Dr. Murr, I was talking about earlier. Shaul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death? But Yahweh shall save me. But he saw himself. He saw himself. He understood that I am a sinner saved by grace. So you take joy at this time of year in the Passover. You rejoice that you are not up on the stake, that you are not hanging, and people are whipping you and pulling your flesh out your off you, ripping your beard off, putting a crown of thorns across around your head, putting nails through your hands. Hey, we ain't built like that in these days and times. We ain't built like that at all. It's a totally different thing these days and times. Same human nature. But back then, they was used to straight up and down war, running up to each other, stabbing each other. That was everyday life. We see guns and people being shot these days on the television. Hey, that's one thing. But back in them days, war, a war was war. Ain't no this side shooting bombs and that side shooting bombs. And, you know, I didn't kill about 3,000 men a day with a bomb. No, it was 3,000 men and women and children cut with a sword, killed physically by another human being in one day, and maybe more at times, maybe less. But that was showing up war back in those days. So we ain't built like that today. I mean, the viciousness of man's heart can produce that. Don't get me wrong. Because we had something like that here in this day and time. I mean, a couple years back, and probably still over in Syria right now, where those men and women taking machetes and cutting people. In Rwanda, well, no, we have too many guns over there. They're taking machetes and cutting people with. So mankind, you know, the nature is still there. But here over in America, we ain't built like that. I give you that. Maybe one and two of us, a few of us, they have that truly mental, psyche, messed up mindset. A maniac, he got that type of mindset to cut somebody up and put them in bags. But we don't. Majority of us don't. I don't. No. Mm-mm. Let me move on. And we indeed justly, for we receive due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Yahushua, Master, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. For that man to change his life and to understand at that time, who Yahushua was, physical nature or carnal nature did not reveal that to that man. But Yahushua's Father in heaven revealed who he was. Just on his words alone, you can get that understanding. He was one that understood that truth at that moment. He heard Yahushua's voice. Understanding that. This is what this means. I got a couple more scriptures that I'm going to move on to. And this is one that will sum up everything that we just went through. Soon I find it. It's in Isaiah. It's in already. 53. What this means to you. Isaiah 53, family. Who could have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of Yah revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He have no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It's talking about our Savior family. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Talking to another brother earlier. And we were talking about the same thing. We were talking about how when things kick off, we were talking about how one brother is going to be a real problem for Israel. And I was telling him, I was a brother, when things kick off, the whole world is going to be a real problem for Israel. That's what we have to understand. They're not just one brother, two brothers, one nation, a couple people, whites against blacks. We talking about a whole world against a nation of people when things kick off. So being despised, you haven't seen nothing yet. You wonder why the world hates these people? Because we got something. Not saying that they can't come and get it. They just don't want to come and get it the way that obviously do it. They want to get on the bandwagon and do it that way. No. But as long as we around those who hear his voice and have his truth, we won't be despised. Because we are, like he said to Pilate, I am a witness. We're going to be witnesses to them that the truth do exist in this world. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Yah, and afflicted. This season means to us, family. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our shalom, or in your scriptures, verse 18, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Yahweh have laid on him the iniquity of all of us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears, he is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. We just read that. When he was up on that tree. And when he was in the garden of Gethsemane. He opened not his mouth at all. He took, at this time of year, over 2,000 years ago, every sin of every mankind born before him and born after him and was laid upon him. It's not saying that we don't have to uphold the law or whatever. That's another teaching. We're not going to get into that today because we'll hear that. See that? Brother, you just said that he died for all our sins. Nay, I said sin. I didn't say sins. That's another story, though. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Go back to what Caiaphas said. For Yah's people, one man should die for the nation. We just read that right there. Caiaphas didn't even know he prophesied that scripture right there. Did not know. And he was made. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich and his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Pilate also said, I find no fault in this man. Yet it pleased Yah to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. For sin. That's the Lord right there, sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. That whole prophecy was because the Father loved his creation enough to give his Son up. And the Son agreed to do it. That's what this season means. And we learn that with Isaac and our father Abraham. He said, stay thy hand, Abraham. I have a ram caught up in the thicket. Brother John said it like this, behold, the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. All this was mapped out way before we were born. Understanding this time of year is truly a blessing. When you're able to put all Yahweh's word together and see the picture of what he has done for you, and to truly understand what he has done for you, and not just for you, for me and the rest of the world, is the ultimate blessing. And all by getting, what did he ask us to get? Get understanding. He's like a good father. He's forever giving us ways to get better. To make this flesh that he made and put his spirit inside of it to make it a little better for the time being that we're in it. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. Excuse me. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Hallelujah. And that's what he's doing right now. He is bearing our sin and making intercession for us right now. Right now, he is seated at the right hand of the Father and making intercession for us. When we go astray, we go to the left and we go to the right. Father, I died for that one right there. Give them a little more time. Give them some mercy, Father. Give them some grace. Time to get it right. Because I die for that. That one right there, that's mine. He belongs to me. You gave him to me, Father. That's what this season needs. My life was bought with a price. I'm saying I'm giving it up just like that because we carnal beings trying to be spiritual beings. Each day we try to tear off more of this flesh and become more spiritual. Some days are better than others. Some days we move a little forward, and some days we step back. But when this time of year comes, we understand that we have an advocate with the Father. And we want to be worthy when we sit down at that Passover Seder. We want to be in right standards with the Father. Because for another year, I don't want to go through sickness and being weak. When I look back, I say, wow, I'm not through the Passover unworthy. And I knew what was going on in the side of my mind. We all did. We can't lie to the Father. But it would tell. It would show. It would show what this time of year means. It would show where you was when you sat down and ate that and said, yes, I'll take it. When you ate them bitter herbs, when you drunk that wine, when you ate that bread representing Yahushua, it will show throughout your year. But even in all that, he still has mercy upon you. Because he wish not that you perish, wish not no man perishes, but all have everlasting life. I want to end with one scripture for what it means to me. And that's back in Luke, family. Luke 23:34. We're just only going to read the first clause. Then said Yahushua, Abba, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. How many of us can do that? After all we know this man been through, we are so carnal. I'm just talking right now, family. Because we are so carnal. We don't go through half the stuff Yahushua went through for us. When you sit back and you go throughout your year and you upset with your wife, your brother, your sister, your husband, or whoever, your boss, and we holding on to these grudges and we can't forgive them. This man taught us the ultimate way to forgive a person. Way to free yourself. Forgive me. Forgive me, Father. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know that I am the one that talked to Moshe. They don't know that. They don't know I am the one that gave them the Torah. I try to come down and I try to show them how to live. And I walk and I was among them. But they forgive me, Father. They didn't know who I was. Couldn't even hear. I spoke to them every day. They heard my voice, but they did not hear the truth. Even in all that, forgive them. They pulled my beard out. They beat me. You can't even recognize me. My own mother, the one that born me, she couldn't even recognize her son. Forgive him for that, Father. Abba Yah, forgive us. Forgive us during the year when we not putting 100% into thy word, Father. Forgive us during the year, Father, when we just too lazy to pick up your word and read, Father, and commune with you, Father. Forgive us when we upset with people in this world system, Father. May it be our wife, may it be our husband, may it be our boss, may it be our sister, may it be our brother, whoever it is, Father. At that moment, it may took a week for us to even calm down for what they did to us, Father, and we did not forgive them at that moment, Father. We held a grudge against them, Father. In our calm state, in our weakened selves, Father, we held a grudge against somebody. For what? Forgive us for that, Father. Forgive us when we didn't get it, Father, when we had it, Father. Forgive us for that, Father. Forgive us for not loving when we should have loved, Father. We held that back, Father, as if it was ours to give. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us for being carnal at times, Father, and parading around like we are righteous. Forgive us, Father. For we are sinners, Father, saved by your grace. In your holy and precious Son name, Yahushua HaMashiach, Father, our Savior and our soon coming King. At this time of year, Yisrael, let us all say, Hallelujah. Sit on, friend.
Definitely bigger, greater than your mind can think. I know that you are one.